morning with a faith, believing to see your word come to pass, fulfill among us as you have promised in your word. Lord God, it is written, Lord, when you were speaking, you said, consider the lilies of the field. Today they are here, tomorrow they are gone. Lord, but when they serve your purpose, they raise again in the newness of life. Lord, and we know that is a type of your people upon the face of the earth, that you put us here to serve your purpose. Lord, do our lives be as a vapor. Lord, we know that at the end of our journey, once we do your will, there's a promise of a resurrection where we will behold your face.
Yes,
oh God, as your prophet have said, death is just a stepping stone to enter into your presence. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word could comfort our hearts, that this is not the end of our journey.
Amen.
Lord, but we shall meet again and be forever young and rejoice in your presence. Oh God, you have your way among us this morning. Even as your word will be ministered unto your people, oh God, have the preeminences among us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll rest in I just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out, seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing, oh, the love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, now it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. You see, I am not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test he must face. It is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing, just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back, I can see. When I was in my lowest valley, your strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunrise and today's sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing, all the grace he gave to me. And God has made this trial a blessing, though it sent me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing for the whole wide world. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole
stand. Just as we're about to change the order of the service, just want to sing this chorus. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all I need. He is Jesus.
is all I need. Let's all sing this morning. He's all I need. He is all I need. He is all. Let's say it one more time. He's all I need. He is all I need. He's all I need. He is all I need.
Jesus is all I need. Yes, he is. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand in your divine presence this morning, singing this little song from the depths of our hearts, we make that confession in thy presence. For Lord, we believe that you are all sufficient, Lord. And Father, if you are all sufficient, then you are all that we have need of. For Lord, you are able to take care of every situation, every problem, every circumstance. There is nothing that could happen that you didn't know about. And there is nothing, Lord God, that is taking place that is not under your divine control. So it makes us feel so secure. It lets us know, Lord, that everything will be all right. Even this song, so inspiring to our hearts, was being sung. You will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. We thank you for that kind of courage. We thank you for that kind of faith, Lord. And you gave your unfailing words of promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. And fathers, we have gathered here today to pay our last respects to our dearly beloved sister, all their family and loved ones, the saints, friends, relatives, different ones that have gathered in, Lord. Some no doubt designed to be here, but because of the sudden passing away and not being able to make proper arrangements, some could not be here. We pray that your great Holy Spirit would take such divine control over each and every one. Whether they're in your presence here now, whether they're somewhere, Lord, you know. We pray your great comforting presence will just brood upon every heart. Your words, Lord, that could anchor every soul would do so. You would bring comfort and strength in the inner man. You would lift up our soul into such a place where we'll see your great divine unfailing words of promise. You said he that believeth in me shall never die, and though he were dead, yet shall he live. For you are the resurrection and the life. We pray, dear God, that you would grant sufficient grace now for the words that is to be spoken, all that is to be said and done. It might be a great encouragement to the hearts of your children. Dear God, all that would be said and done be pleasing in your sight. It would bring glory to your name. And if there be one here, Father, that is hungering for thee, one that might be dead in sin and trespasses. May you even reach out to such a one today. We know your work in mysterious ways, your wonders to perform. It is written in your word, it's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of feasting. And this is a time of great feasting, Father. Lord, everywhere people are going from house to house, drinking, eating, and being merry, playing music, and having a great time, celebrating. But you've caused some to come into the house of mourning. May when they hear your word, they take it to heart. May it cause them to consider their ways, Lord. And may you show you have something better in store for us. But cause them to so want to serve you and have that blessed hope that only a Christian has. Granted, we pray as we come into service in their hands now, asking the divine leadership and guidance in all we say and do. But we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God, we shall bless each and every one of you. We welcome you this morning in the house of God, and we'd like to invite your attention to a little portion of scripture we'd like to read before you have your seat. It's found in the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, and another portion found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible, I would ask that you would listen attentively, that we might receive strength and comfort from God's words. In the book of Genesis, reading from chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Also, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Verse 22 to 24. It says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Well, we certainly want to welcome everyone and them that are coming in at this time. We are gathered here for the sole purpose of paying our last respects to our dearly beloved sister, Rona Bowen, who passed away on Boxing Day. And we were supposed to have one of the family members at this time to really say the eulogy, and they felt that it's best that we handle it, and we are thankful to God that, you know, we could gather here to pay our last respects to one that we love and appreciate. She has a couple of brothers that is overseas, and they are flesh and blood, and they are unable to make it. One of the brothers, I understand, was able to make it. So in times like these, you know, you want to be among the family. You want to really be identified, you know, when children grow up together and they become of age and go their different ways in life, raise the family, dwell different places. But there's a bond, there is something that joins the hearts together, that in times like these, surely they want to be remembering one another. If it's not in prayer, if they can make the way to the home, give encouragement and comfort, give words of consolation, if not to be in the house of God, to pay the last respects and look upon the face of one that they looked into so many times with a happy smile, one that they would embrace, one that would speak words of joy and comfort to them, one that they would enjoy pleasant times with, that they could have those precious memories. And, you know, we always would like that. You know, and sometimes there are situations that is beyond us, that we would like to be there and we cannot be there. We understand those type of things. But nevertheless, we who are here this morning to pay our last respects to one that we knew, as Sister Rona, and she was a member of the local assembly here for, I believe it was about 10 years when we first started here in this place. She was there from the beginning in 1979. And I remember the last time speaking with her was when she so desired to rededicate her marriage, that she felt that she had many unpleasant and unhappy experiences, desired a better relationship with her husband, have more understanding in the home. And she tried and tried, and she so desired to have that. And when the last baby was born and came and had the baby dedicated unto the Lord Jesus, as she did with the other children, she so desired to see that that the marriage, this would be a turning point. I remember I had a very long talk, a serious talk with the husband and herself in the office, and speaking to him about the responsibility and what the headship of the home is, and you know, fulfilling his responsibilities and not letting the wife, who the Bible says the weaker vessel, carry the strain of being both father and mother. And we had quite a talk, and you know, she had great hopes, and she wanted that. She wanted that maybe he could come and sit, and we could talk to him and present the word to him in a way that maybe she, though she's his own wife, wasn't able to do. And he did come and sit in the house of God many times. But you know, there is something about the word of God that when you hear it, you have to make a decision about it. Either you're closer drawn or you go further away. And when we sit and we hear the word of God like that, we don't realize many times the grace of God has been extended unto us. Nevertheless, you know, our sister, she died under very unpleasant circumstances. It's not the type of circumstance that one would normally pass away. Sometimes people anticipate the passing away of a loved one. And sometimes even when they would pass away under certain circumstances, they felt that, well, they fulfilled the goal in life. They felt that they fulfilled the purpose. They didn't leave little children that need to be attended to or taken care of, or might need motherly affection or parental care. And they may no doubt be able to understand. Sometimes if a person is not a deeply rooted Christian, when a person is passed away like this, it could shake them very much. It could cause them to even question God sometimes and ask, Lord, why? But I want to guarantee you this morning that God knew about it all way before. It happened long before, way before the foundation of the world. And as we would spend a little while here speaking about the word of God, to bring encouragement and comfort to your heart, you could see that these things are not things that would throw us into despair. Bible said we could be persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, perplexed but not in despair. Amen. We bear always in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Even right now, while we sit here as a Christian, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter all the day long. And I want to tell you that in life or in death, things past and things present, and things to come, in perils or sword, in all kind of afflictions, whatever it may be, the Bible says, knowledge, we are more than conquerors. Amen. It's not what it appears to be if we don't look at it without understanding. But I guarantee you that she was one who was established in the word of truth. She didn't just have a church religion. She didn't just satisfy for a church attendance. Her goal wasn't just to belong to an assembly and had the name tacked to her as Christian and go to church on holy days around Christmas time or around Easter time and these things. But she was one that was prepared by the word for rugged times in life. That's why even though she might have had opportunities to migrate and go on to a better life and maybe just escape from the surroundings, she's one that looked at it. Didn't desire to be in it. But yet because of the responsibility of her mother, was willing to bow beneath the load and bear the burden upon her shoulder, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ was more than able to give her the strength to endure and bear the cross that she had to carry. How many times that she might have sought a way of escape and come in the house of God and the word of God confronted her. And she saw that the word of God is not just something that you go and you hear and enjoy and walk away forgetting the responsibility that goes with it. But when she was confronted with the responsibility of what the name Christian means and the virtue of sacred motherhood demands, she was willing to surrender to God's word and bear it and try to hold a true testimony, even though many times she may bend beneath the load. But yet she knew that she was going to face God one day and give account for what she was responsible for. And though she didn't choose the circumstances, though she didn't choose the role, though she didn't choose the experiences that she inherited and had to walk in this life, yet she knew the Bible says the light affliction is only for a moment. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all trials will erase. Amen. She was one who could thank God for the mountains and thank God for the valleys. She was one who knew that Christianity is not a bed of roses. She's one who knew that, like that man one time, had that dream. Where he dreamed he's walking on this beach and he saw two set of footprints. He and the Lord was walking and talking and having a wonderful fellowship about the blessings and God's hopes and plans and all these different things. And then he found out that there's only one set of footprints at a certain part of the journey. And it was at the part where it was hardest for him in life. The most severe trials that he ever went through when things was so dark, they didn't know how he was going to come out of it. And he woke up with, he's going to get a question. It's going to be, he was bothered, he felt that forsaken. Because two set of footprints only turned out to be one. I say, oh God, Lord, man, I love you so much and serve you so much. And you know, we walk together all them through them times. And why would you leave me like that? In them hard times, why would there be only one set of footprints? And he said, my son, I didn't leave you at the time I carried you. She understood that. Some of you know, sometimes we can be so close to somebody and don't really even know them. Because you see the thing about people, which we all make up that way, and God make us up in that unique way. We don't really let out ourselves, except we feel we can let out certain parts of ourselves to people who can identify with those parts. As much as you may like a person, it have people we talk about sewing dresses with. It have people we talk about baking cake with. It have people we talk about sports with. It have people we talk about politics with. And then when it comes to the real sacred things in God and that mean the most, it have those we talk those things with too. And sometimes those people, we may not spend the amount of time with those people as we may spend more time with other people who we talk the other things with. And to the eyes of some people, we are closer to the other people than those. But the real bond, the real connection, is when we are with those people who we could fellowship in those deep things with, those sacred times where we draw the strength to face the trials in life that make others wonder why a person would take that kind of abuse, why a person would take that kind of pressure, why a person don't leave that, why a person had to go through that kind of thing, why a person do have to do things. The things that bind us to our duty and our responsibility. Knowing we are not here to please man, but we are here to serve God. And we are bound by the chains of God's word that makes us a prisoner. And when the cup becomes bitter, we don't want to pass it away. We can say, not my will, Lord, but thou will be done. If it's just for a testimony, if it's just here to stand here, because my life is not just for me and my family, my life is for the generation. That they might see a witness. That if God put me here to show what sacred motherhood is. When it becomes a dying thing today. At a time in this world, you could turn around everywhere and see a faithful mother. A real mommy. But the world have changed. Values have changed. People have changed. People thinking have changed. Because the changing world. They become weaker and wiser. And people no longer want to bear those type of things. And somebody who would do it would consider it to be foolish because the world has been taken about religion. And people who really stand for the word is very few. But God don't look at religion. God look at those who stand for the word. Because even Jesus came to that place and says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of sinful men. They're going to scourge him, spit on him, crucify him, do him all kind of evil. They're going to kill him. And he said, Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? If it's possible, let the cup pass. And one of them says, shall I not drink the cup that's prepared for me? He said, not my will, Lord, but thou will be done. We could sit down and admire Jesus for that. And we say, not me. But I want to tell you, real Christianity is his life coming back in you to prove he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because this generation didn't see the physical Jesus back there. But because he's the same, they'll have to see him inside of you doing the same things again. And even though you are tempted to move and bypass the cup, yet the word of God compels you to take it and drink it by the grace of God. We may sit here and wonder and say, oh, Rona, you die like a fool, Gil. David said that about Abner one time. Great general in Israel, he wallowed in his own blood. One push a sword beneath the fifth rib into him. And David, the Bible says, walked behind the bier as they carried the coffin. He was mourning and weeping for Abner, who at one time took a side against him. But he knew that the man was a valiant man. He knew Israel needed men like that. He said, oh, Abner, you die like a fool. And some of us may think, I give her some advice some years ago and tell her she should leave that man a long time. I don't know why she'll go through that kind of pressure. I advise her, but listen to that. She lied like a fool. But maybe in the eyes of God, she did exactly what God wanted her to do. She had gone into eternal reward. And she stood true to the end. Like that story about the hen one time who had her chickens. And the farmer barn was burned down that night, and he rushed into the barn to see what remained, and he saw the dead hen all charred and burned to ashes. When he kicked over the old dead hen, underneath it lay all the little chickens right there. She was a mother until the end. She gathered them chickens and she took death, but she covered them up and gave them the kind of protection and shelter, because being a mother, her life was for her children. I think that's the kind of person we come to pay our last respects to today. Mightn't be the most well-known person in Trinidad. Mightn't be the most well-known person in the community. Mightn't have never captured the attention of a lot of people because she never dressed in the fashions of this world or never rode in expensive cars or was never in the company of so-called important people. So she might not be known of. But God knew her. And God put her here for a testimony. And God called others to look closely and inspect and examine her life. Not her fashions, not her worldly associations, not how big her salary was, not how important maybe her job looked in the eyes of this world, but to inspect by the word of God her character and what was the first and foremost desire down in the bottom of her heart. And how she tried to apply herself faithfully to it because she came in contact with Jesus Christ, who turned her life around and made her a new creature. Our sister Rona, you know, she was 40 years old, born November the 6th, 1949, and went to be with the Lord on December 26, 1989, attended Nelson Street Girls Housing School. And also later on, understand Nelson Street Housing Girls, they consider her kind of crazy person. She was an oddball from small. Amen. And in the few notes that was written concerning her life, it mentioned that they call her crazy owl. You know, I guess that's what they call us still today. They call all of us that today. That's what they call Jesus. Say he's mad, he's crazy. They call Jesus that. Do you know they call Jesus that? Amen. Amen. Exactly. He said they call the master, how much more you? Amen. Then later on, she went to Progressive Educational Institute. Married to Keith Bowen 18 years ago, for 18 years of marriage. Produced 6 children, Trisha, Stephen, Paul, John, Angel, and Andrew. Amen. Was here for 10 years in the local assembly. Leaves her mother, her 3 sisters, her 3 brothers, together with those 6 children. And she lived for 40 years. May not be a lengthy life. There seems to be a little over half of what the Bible says that God allots for us. 60 is about what she had. But you see, in the great drama of life, and upon the stage of the earth, where that is exhibited and the great mystery of God is expressed, it's not really important how long one's role, one's performance is in this great drama. It is the part that was given unto them, and the way that they play that part. All of us are still on the stage, fulfilling out our role, but she have made her exit. You know, when a great writer writes a play and lays it out there, each actor in that drama must get the cue when they're going to make their entrance on stage. And each one is going to get the cue where they're going to make their exit. And many times, you know, you see one comes out and they begin to play the role. It might be a difficult role. Sometimes some people, they have a choice to choose which role they're going to play in a certain play. And look for maybe the glamorous part, they're going to capture a lot of attention, which one is going to keep them on stage longest, or different things. Sometimes one may have to take a role that may not be desired by many. But the performance that she gave, I believe that's why we are here, to pay our last respects, to give a standing ovation, to give a round of applause, as it were, by our lives. And the words that we can speak of her, because it wasn't just a fictitious play, it was a real drama. You know, it has some people in the great film world, when they get the really dangerous parts in the play, they get stuntmen to act that part. And they don't kind of bring close-up shots of them. So somebody will take the credit for it. But then there's some people just can't play a part like that. They have to go through the dangerous and hard times, the rugged times, themselves. To make the, because they're not there to play, really. And they're not there just to capture the attention of the people. But the role is a reality to them. It's something about the part that they've been given to play. And if God had told her, Rona, before the foundation of the world, this is where you're going to go in life to be. You know, Jesus knew where he's going to be. He knew where he's going to be faced. That way I can say this, the hour has come. And what shall I say? And he knew he had to go through those things. And we as members of God's bride, his body today, we too know some of the things that's going to confront us. We know the persecution, the press that we're going to come under. We know the freedom of worship that's going to be taken away from us. We know the economic pressure that's going to cause us to lose our jobs and all these different things. And yet we want to be a Christian still. Yet there's something inside of it. Say, God, if that's what you want from me, I know you're more than able. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's amazing. That's what the Christian faith offers. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit take a hold of a person, bring them into a realm in spite of the conditions, overshadow them by his presence, fill them with his spirit and his word. And they're going to walk through those circumstances as though they're having the most enjoyable time. Though they have to weep many a time. Though they're in a valley in a dark place. Yet like David said, my heart is fixed and my soul falleth hard after thee. Amen. This scripture, I read, you know, it may look kind of a little strange. But for the next few moments, 10, 15 minutes, I would just like to speak a little bit about what speaketh the voice of our sister's blood. Bible, the first murder, first person that was slain, whose blood shed and spilled into the earth, was Abel. And Jesus, when he came, he was slain and his blood was spilled into the earth. Peter says, crucified by wicked hands. And then Paul says, but the blood of Jesus Christ spoke too. You know, blood speaks. God told Abel, he said, Cain, he said, where's thy brother Abel? He said, his blood that you shed, that flew into the earth, and the earth that I took him, man, from, and made blood cells, and made veins and arteries, and formed the human body, and said that the life will be in the blood. And you broke that blood cell, and the blood spilled in the earth. And he had to open my mouth and take back in that blood. He said, that blood didn't just stay there soaking. It didn't cry back unto me. He said, in my ear, I heard the voice of thy brother's blood crying against you, Cain. He tried to lie. He tried to remove the guilt off him. He tried to evade the situation. He says, I'm my brother's keeper. His own brother. They live in the home together. They grow up as little boys together. They play together. And then Jesus, who was the anti-type of Abel, he was the greater than Abel. He too was slain. He didn't die by old age.
He didn't die, you know, a stroke or something. He didn't die because of bad health. His blood was shed. And Abel, the first person of the human race to be slain and blood spilling to the earth. And then Jesus, the first person of God's new creation. But the Bible said he's the beginning of the creation of God. And his church, his body, his bride, the real believers, is the continuation of that same creation. But there was a difference between that first creation, of which Abel was a product, and the second creation, of which Jesus was the beginning. There's a difference. And the difference was the blood. Because Paul says, as we read, he said, the blood of Jesus speaketh. But he said, it didn't speak what Abel's blood spoke. It speaks better things than Abel's blood. He said, his blood was spilled too. The earth opened its mouth and received his blood too. And his blood cried back out. But it didn't speak what Abel's blood spoke. He had life in his blood. Same way Abel had life in his blood. He was the great shepherd, the true shepherd. The difference is the blood. Why the difference is the blood? You know why? See, Abel came by sex. Adam and Eve come together and produce Abel. But Jesus didn't come by sex. Joseph and Mary didn't come together to produce Jesus. The Holy Ghost, the Most High, shall overshadow thee, Mary. And that holy thing that is conceiving thee will be called the Son of the Most High. That was God's blood that came by creation. Abel's blood gave life to his own body. But Jesus' blood gives life to his body. His natural body and his spiritual body. And both spoke. Both had a voice. And when Abel's blood was shed, it cried out unto God against Cain, who slew him. It cried out against Cain. But when Jesus' blood was shed, those who was piercing him and spilling his blood into the earth, he knew he might end up there. Not might, he knew he was going to end up there. He spoke it to them. He spoke it to those around him. He said, I'm going to deliver them. They're going to kill me. They're going to shed my blood. When he broke the bread, he said, this is my blood that has been shed for the remission of sins of many. But the thing is, when he was being pierced, his blood was pouring into the earth. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His blood didn't cry for judgment. His blood cried for grace and pardon. His own had killed him. But now he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected by his own. His own cried away with him. His own pierced him. Yet what it was, his grace cried forgiveness and pardon. You see, in Abel's blood was the nature and the life of Adam, which he inherited. He inherited that from Adam because he was born of Adam's seed. He was born of Adam's blood. And in Jesus' blood, how did it do it? It didn't have Adam nature. It had the divine nature of God. It had the literal life of God. Because God became flesh. It was the Word that became blood. No wonder the Bible said, we are not redeemed by corruptible things like gold or silver, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And then all those who are born again, all those who receive a new birth of his seed, the seed of the beginning of the creation of God, all those who are born by his seed receive his blood, have his nature inside of them. Could you see that? Sure, that's the scripture. Oh, it's a tremendous thing as we look at it for the next few moments. You know, our sister died on Boxing Day, the 26th to 12th. Now, it's a tradition. The tradition is not important, and I'm not really looking at the tradition because that's not important to us here. But Boxing Day is considered to be St. Stephen's Day. That's what it is, St. Stephen's Day. And how true that tradition is, as I said, is not important to us here. But there was something in the life of Stephen. You see, Stephen was the first martyr. The first Christian church, in the Christian church, the first one to die and have their blood shed and spill in the earth was Stephen. And he too, well, his blood has been poured into the earth. It showed that he was one of them. He was born by that seed. Because he was a man, but his blood didn't cry what Abel's blood cried. His rabbi's blood cried what Jesus' blood cried. You know, Stephen, he was there preaching one day, and you know, people started disputing with him, and the argument get hot, I guess. And you know, sometimes when you tamper with something that you know is super straight was there, you can run into problems, and then you can't handle it, then you try to get a way out. Well, that's what happened to them Jews. Stephen maybe looked like a little ordinary man, and they kind of been a tamper with him and try to put a little pressure on him, and the words had to come out. They realized this is more than a man here. And brother, the Bible said they couldn't resist him by the wisdom and the spirit which he spoke. And his face began to shine like an angel. They realized this man was full of faith and power and the Holy Ghost. So he was a continuation of the same creation. He had religion, religion. Amen. See? And, you know, it wasn't long after this that Jesus had died, and you know, he had appeared to them and showed them the wounds where they pierced him and these things. Sure. They still had the rock stained with his blood there on Golgotha. Sure. And here was Stephen. Stephen now, he was speaking the word. And then something happened. It gets so controversial that they arrested him and they took him down before the council. But that still couldn't quench him. That only fanned the fire more. Because God, through him, was given a witness. God, through him, was showing them that this is something real. Amen. But there's something about the life of Christ. You know, it is there to help people. It is there to serve and humble itself. But yet people just can't seem to recognize that. And rather, you know, they try to destroy it and snuff it out. And here it was, he too was killed by his own countrymen. He was trying to see them walk in the light that he was walking in. He wasn't so interested that, you know, they like everything he like or don't like everything he don't like. He didn't want them to walk in the light that he had seen. And he was bound by that word that he couldn't be different. But he was killed by those who hated him, hated his faith, hated his religion. There's a very little part for you. In the book of Acts, it says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed them with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Hallelujah! I can imagine when the news got home to his wife and children. Some might have debated he shouldn't have said nothing. He should have held his peace. You know, you wouldn't even get the argument to begin with if he just go peaceful and mind his own business. But he wasn't sent to mind his own business in that sense. He was sent to also let people know what God's business is and be about the Father's business. When they look at that body, yes, it's a young man. He was a young man. Rule his house well. And a young wife with little children to get the news that such a thing happened to your daddy today. They thought he went in the market somewhere. End up there in the marketplace talking, end up there in our prisoner down inside. With the Sanhedrin Council, end up down outside the city gate and being stoned. And maybe the pot was in the fire and the wife finally was taken along with something. You know, things happen every day in normal life. Things happen you don't expect sometimes. But let me tell you, while he lay there, and it reached a certain place, he began to see the heavens open, the Bible said, and he saw Jesus standing in heaven. I can imagine the Father, he stood for me. Dear, I'm going to stand for him up here. Amen. Stephen shed his blood. His blood was shed and flowed into the earth. Head being bashed in. See? But what's something about your own countrymen? But while he's been bashed in and from that terrible stoning, from the hands of wicked men that slew him, while he lay on the ground bleeding and dying, what was the voice saying? He was asking for pardon. He was asking for forgiveness for them, for the very ones. It showed that this new creation, there was something about it. It shows that divine nature makes people behave different. They could take and don't retaliate back. And I believe that our sister, I don't believe that her blood is crying out from the earth against her husband. Saying, how long, Lord, will you avenge me of his blood? I don't believe her blood is crying out. What speaketh her blood? We may have to understand what she believed. What changed her life? What she followed? We have to examine that a little more closely. It depends on what our blood speaks will depend on what happened to us in life, where we at, what we claim, how true that claim is. I believe in her as another blood. Different to Abel's blood. Amen. That I believe in her was the same blood that was in Stephen. You say, how you can say that? Because she believed the same message Stephen believed. She had the same kind of religion Stephen had. She was baptized the same way Stephen was baptized. She believed that Elijah came and revealed the Son of Man the same way Stephen believed it. Do you know that to be true? Sure. That blood that was inside of her, that message speaks better things. It speaks grace and pardon. It speaks love and mercy. It speaks forgiveness. If Abel's blood spoke and Jesus' blood spoke, then our sister Rona, whose blood was shed and spilled in the earth also, it speaks also. But what speaketh the blood of our sister? I'm saying it only speak what Jesus' blood spoke. I can only speak what Stephen's blood spoke. Amen? See, Jesus, he said, don't fear them who kill the body. Jesus preached that. You can bypass that, but I don't think you're tired. Are you? Amen. Let me hear some of you speak. Amen. You see, this is a little scripture here. Let me read and we're going to close. In Matthew 10:28, it says, and fear them not who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And are two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's Jesus speaking that. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. If one sparrow falls to the ground, how much little birdies today? Some of my mother's don't want to sling a shot. Some of my father get mashed by a car somewhere. And he's saying the father knows that. How much more are you than sparrows? Wherefore, therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man foes, shall they be of his own household. You know, Jesus, they asked him, where did he get them wounds, Lord? He's in the house of my friends. Is that right? Yet he loved them and prayed for them that they would be forgiven for what they did to him. See, her enemies was of her own household. She received those fatal wounds, not in the house of the friends or some neighbor somewhere, but in her own house. But what would her blood speak? I'm saying today, let there not be no bitterness. Let there not be no hard spirits or anything. I'm saying overcome evil with good. I'm saying that her blood cries out. But it's speaking better things. Because she had the same kind of blood that Stephen had. She had the same kind of blood that Jesus had. If she had the blood of Abel, she's not a Christian. But she was a Christian. She is still a Christian. She might have departed from this earthly stage. But I guarantee you she had become part of the heavenly audience. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. As we come to a close, thinking of these things, we get ready to go down to the Mountain View Cemetery, where we're going to have in Morva, where we're going to have the interment of the body. We trust that all can make it. I guess most of you will be able to make it. We're going to leave here and get down there. But before we leave, you know, the scripture today is a lot of great time of feasting and rejoicing and all these things that is happening in the earth today. And a lot of celebration is taking place. And I was thinking, it says, these dear children, I was just talking to Stephen, asked him, could he sleep at night and so on. You know, poor boy not being able to sleep too well. God, or what a witness. But sometimes God has us to witness certain things. Jesus, he, the great El Shaddai, who nurses us on his breast. He who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for iniquities. We all have to witness Calvary. to be a Christian. We all have to, like the disciples standing there at Golgotha, see them piercing his blood spilling the earth. He says, "Mommy, been a call her children. I wrong her, been a kiss them. They asked mommy to kiss me too." Her last words when they get the children around, and her last display of her relationship towards them was one of secret motherhood. And God had them to witness that for a purpose. I believe the same when Noah and Peter, and they felt so discouraged, and sometimes I go fishing, and sometimes this, and they're all gloomy and everything else. But he had told them, they thought that was the end, that he was going to rise again. And he came back and he appeared unto them. And he said, "Is I? Handle me. He's not a spirit." I want them to know she will rise again. Not many days from now. And God, in his great way that he worked things out and planned things. It may seem cruel that they witness that, but how much more when they witness Jesus stripped naked? We see them little pictures that they put a little loincloth around him. The Bible said he was naked. They stripped him naked, humiliated him, jerk his beard or pierce him, challenge him. If you're the Son of God, come from the cross, spit on him and these things. And I think that he is the one who created them, created this world, created the universe. The sun refused to shine. The sun won't look at it. The moon bowed down in shame. The earthquake, the rocks rent. All man forsook him. That loved him was so pierced in the heart. But that wasn't the end of the story. And this is not the end of the story this morning. I want to say our Christian faith, our Christian experience that we have received of the revelation of God's word in this hour is something real. It's something that can master all circumstances. And though this world is changing and becoming more evil, amen, the presence of God draws closer to his church, to his believing ones. Though things may look hard and difficult at times, and though they may die in unpleasant circumstances, when you think of John the Baptist's head who was chopped off, our belly dancer request, and when you think of Isaiah who was sawn asunder and these things, when you think of Jesus who was stripped naked and died a capital punishment, when you think of those who pregnant mothers whose belly was ripped open and their children thrown to feed hogs and these things died in martyrdom, many families will have to stand in similar circumstances. But the life that lives and moves us is not something temporal. It's not something overcome by these things. Because it don't matter how you die, it's how you live while you was here. You're not going to come back and whether you die good in bed, or whether a car mash you, or whether you die too bad and somebody shoot you, or whether you die of poison. It ain't going to matter. It's how you live while you was here, whether you live for him or not. And she lived for him by the grace of God. As we get ready to close, I want to give you the opportunity to walk with the same Jesus. You know what your time has come. Think of the time when you and her laughed together. Think of the time when you embraced one another. Think of the time when she brought some nice cookies or something for you to eat. Think of the time when she did something, you know, that made others happy. And you was enjoying those moments. You back there couldn't foresee that she was going to go this route. And the same way, you don't know how you are going to go either. But you want to doubt the blessed assurance. Now I was thinking, you know, that God is more than able to take away all mental strain, all psychological effects, all complexes that may try to disrupt those little tender children's lives and bring peace and contentment and draw them into his bosom, where they will know from that tender age
that God is real.
Amen. Glory be to God. No one knows the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Glory be to God. Amen. God remembers all his promises. So why don't you, before we dismiss and close this service, as you're thinking on these things, what speak of the blood of our sister Rona? Is in your heart? Could your heart speak of it? This is the way, as a Christian, she lived. This is the confession of her faith. And the God that she served, the kind of religion she had, could bring her back out to the grave. She don't have the kind of religion that's keep her in the grave, and I know what's going to happen. She has the kind of religion that brings her back out. You know something? When we see Jesus, he's going to have his wounds. But you know, all those who, like Isaiah and them, were sawn asunder. Like John the Baptist, whose head was cut off. Like someone died all scarred and torn limb to limb and these things. We're not going to have no scars. Fanny Crosby, to try to get her to, great saint of God, sing for the world, had a marvelous voice, touched many hearts, a ministry to sing. I know the world just loves to try to woo and attract something that God gives his people to pervert it. And they try to pull out money and popularity into the world to use the gift for the wrong channel. But she had a revelation, it was to glorify God. And she said, no, I wouldn't do it. She was blind. And then when the world will get where they want, you know, they like to throw dirt upon you and make insulting remarks. They said, look at you, you're blind. When you get to heaven, this heaven you're talking about, how are you going to see Jesus if you're still blind when you get there? She said, I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Amen. He'll still have those nail prints. He was wounded. He was blood cried out. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. May this Jesus I'm speaking about this morning, this word that's been presented to you. Friends, we don't need a better government. We don't need a bigger church. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a fresh translation. We don't need all the crusades, all the things. What we need is to recognize our need of him. To recognize that he loves you. And this world, while it's falling apart on all sides, and it's heading to destruction, he wants to reach out to give you something that maybe you don't even fully understand that's what you need. And in this busy time of celebration, he could bring you to the house of mourning, where the word of God could strike your heart and the way of life could be presented to you. To walk with him, greatest experience, the greatest thing could happen to any individual is to take up your cross and walk with him. Life might be hard. You may say, I don't want to die like that sister and this and that the other. Or he may give you a nice peaceful death here on earth. But you see, death only changes dwelling place. You don't
end with death there.
No, you just change the dwelling place. You're alive somewhere else, and what you is here, you're going to be there. And when you come back, that's where you're going to be. Then are you ready to stand and meet him in that condition? Knowing his word requires something different. I'd like the sisters to come and sing as we close. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't never leave me alone. For I know without you, I cannot make heaven my home. And God, we shall bless your heart. And I trust that you have some words of encouragement to the family. And you take these words that have been spoken to your heart today. Hide them in your heart. And go through this into the new year with something that can show you a brighter future than what a politician could offer, than what the world could offer.
Opportunity that this world is dying. This earth is groaning and travailing in pain. This earth is groaning, calling to put back on its hidden beauty. It's all bursted up, rivers all polluted, skies all polluted, all the minerals of the earth pulled out, rocking and reeling, going to destruction. Friends, when you think about it, Trinidad, this nation is dying. Do you have eyes to look and see death? Sometimes a corpse might be well dressed, but it's still a corpse. Sometimes some of the most decked off things is death. God wants to give us real life. He that had the Son had life. And the scripture says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. Devout men, they was glad to pack that body at house. God, one whose blood was shed and spilled into the earth, but in life and in death, was a Christian. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we've come to the end of this funeral service. Lord, your word has gone forth. We give you thanks for the life that our sister lived. And these words that you could give by inspiration to speak of her as she have finished her course in life. We know she have come up to your house, Father, For you said if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there's another one waiting. It was that very theophany that she heard from that turned her wrong in this life, that thundered down through that revealed word message. Same message that Stephen believed, that brought a new birth to her, Lord. The voice of her blood could speak grace and pardon and forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for the memories that we hold of her in our hearts. We thank you for the association that you allowed us to have with her these past years. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit come to watch over the children that you try to raise for your glory. And the life that you lived before them and the instruction that you gave to them, we pray that you would preserve it in their little hearts, that it would cause their footsteps to walk in the pathway of your revealed word, and that the experience that they have experienced would cause them to be closer drawn to you. You said in your word, all things work together for good to them that love you and to them who are decalled even according to your purpose. Father, I pray that no complexes, no psychological effects, no mental strain would be able to grip them, Lord, and bring hurt to them. I pray you take away the oppression from the enemy upon the minds. May your Holy Spirit grant the peace that passeth all understanding and the love that passeth all knowledge. May it be shed abroad in their hearts. And may even in this, Lord, they know thee whom to know is life eternal. Comfort every heart. May your grace be shed abroad abundantly here in the service. And Father, when that trumpet sounds, we know that they'll be coming back. She and all them that live for thee down through the age, them that identify themselves with thy word. We're looking forward for that time. We're anticipating it, Lord, because we realize there's not many more days. It's a promise in your word, Father, and you are not slack concerning all your promises. You will bring it to pass in its season. As we leave this place to go to the cemetery, may the continuing guidance and leadership of your Holy Spirit be with us. And may you undertake for us in every situation. We commit ourselves and everything into your hands. For we pray and we ask these mercies and blessings in Jesus' precious name. Father, thanking you for all things. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We are